You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into another joyful post-game episode of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. And well, for a second consecutive night, the Rockets made the plays they had too late to get a close one against the Denver Nuggets. Monday night, it was 125-124, the rematch at Toyota Center. The Nuggets, they're a quality team. There's a reason they are the 8th seed in the Western Conference, a playoff team if the season ended today. And well, going into this two-game stretch with the Rockets, they had won 4 games in a row and 7 out of 10. They were playing some very good basketball. And they were not going to let the Rockets get this win easily. Every single time, the Rockets pushed it out to 7 or 8 points in the fourth quarter, and it seemed like they were on the verge of putting it away. The Nuggets had an answer. Most notably, in the last couple of minutes, they went from, a 5-point deficit to a 1-point lead in the closing seconds. But just as they did on Saturday, the Rockets made the plays they had to down the stretch to get the win. I'll get to Nene in a minute because I know a lot of people want to talk about his contributions, just as on Saturday, Nene was a huge story late. But I'm going to start with James Harden because as much as we want to take it for granted, we shouldn't. This is a time in the NBA calendar that a lot of stars are resting, and yet you have James Harden playing 40 minutes. It wasn't lost on me that Mike D'Antoni brought him back before the 8-minute mark in the fourth quarter because the Rockets wanted this game. They knew they needed every minute of James Harden to get it. And also, I thought it was a good observation by D'Antoni that they weren't going to play again until Friday, so they had a little bit more time off after this game anyway. So if there's ever a game that you might want to kind of squeeze your regulars for a little bit more, this was it. And of course, Harden went 40 minutes. Trevor Ariza went 41. But Harden, yes, he was phenomenal, as he often is. 39 points, 11 assists, 7 rebounds, 4 steals. But really, it's how he took over the game late, scored the last 7 points for the Rockets, including a 3 with about a minute and a half left with the Rockets at 5. And then, of course, the game-winning layup coast-to-coast in under 5 seconds, got the rebound with about 7 seconds left. And then, rather than call timeout, Mike D'Antoni trusted his team to go out and make a play. He essentially had Nene blocking for him like a tight end, and Harden just took it to the rim, got the layup with 2.4 seconds. And oh, by the way, he also made the play on the defensive end to swat away the attempted alley-oop and seal it in the closing seconds. And I know a lot of folks are going to say, why was this game so close? Because the Nuggets, while they're a quality team, they're below 500. The Rockets 49-22 playing at home. So you like to think the Rockets would put them away. Well, first off, the Nuggets are a desperate team. Secondly, it doesn't really work that way in the NBA over 82 games. Some nights are not going to go your way. So you're going to have to grind some of these times, and that's what the Rockets, led by James Harden, did. And to me, seeing them pick up a couple of games this way, it almost makes me feel a little bit better than if they had won these games by 20 points. And here's why. If you could nitpick one thing about the Rockets, and I was talking about this with David Locke, the radio play-by-play guy of the Utah Jazz, when the Jazz were here a couple of weeks ago, that was the second straight loss for the Rockets on the heels of that tough game in San Antonio. And the point that he brought up to me was that the Rockets, despite all their success, they were not a good crunch-time offense. That in the last 3 minutes of games, they did not have a very good record. Well, that's now 3 times in the last 5 games, the Cleveland game and then these 2 against Denver, that the Rockets have had a close game in the fourth quarter that could have swung either way, and yet every time the Rockets came out victorious. And I think that's big from a confidence standpoint. Now sure, there were things they did wrong. Certainly the Rockets had a 5-point lead with a little over a minute and a half tonight, and they ended up down 1 with 7 seconds, and well, could have been down 3 if the Nuggets had scored on their final trip. So yes, there are things they did wrong. It was not perfect. But I think finding ways to battle through and seeing positive results means a lot. Because despite what they say, the Rockets are a confident bunch. But if you continue to have a lot of tough losses, eventually that's going to catch up with you mentally. But this team, yes, we know how good they are when they are on their game and they can post these 39, 40-point wins like what we saw against the Lakers last week. But in the playoffs, you're going to have to grind. And that's 2 games in a row and really 3 out of 5. We can spin it back to that Cleveland game last week that the Rockets have done the things they needed to do, or enough of them, I should say, late. Now, Saturday night, the Rockets, they took the lead, and down the stretch, they couldn't really buy a bucket, but it was the way they played defensively, specifically Nene coming over to contest, Now, that was also another story tonight, Nene's veteran savvy. I thought the way he moved his feet and defended Jameer Nelson, basically forced an air ball with 7 seconds to go, that was certainly a big part of it. But the other factor, the game-winning layup, look, let's credit the two guys that are most responsible for this Rockets team all year long, and that's James Harden and Mike D'Antoni. First things first, Mike D'Antoni, as I was saying a minute ago, not calling timeout, love the call. When you have a guy like James Harden with a full head of steam, let him go. From a timeout perspective, I've long said that that helps the defense as much as it does the offense. Now, if you have 10 or 12 seconds, I might could see calling timeout to try and set up a play. But when you are looking with 6-7 seconds left, there's no ideal optimal play for that situation. In fact, I would guess that any team in the league, if you limit them to 6 or 7 seconds, the odds are going to be against them scoring 2 points on a given possession. So if you're the Rockets, you want to increase the randomness. You don't want to play the structure game. And if you have a player like James Harden that has that high of a basketball IQ, absolutely, give him a chance to make a play in the open floor, and that he did. And of course, it wasn't just James Harden. It was Nene having the presence of mind to essentially get out there and block. Now, it wasn't illegal. He didn't grab anybody. He just went out and threw his big body in the way. And James Harden, well, he was able to read it. It was, all, again, the analogy that I like from Tim McMahon of ESPN, it was like a tight end blocking and James Harden, a running back, following behind him. You have two very high IQ basketball players. Increase the variance. Let them go out there and do their thing. I thought that was a very astute observation. And a lot of times I hate when folks on Twitter criticize, well, why didn't this team call a timeout if they let it run and then a team doesn't score in the closing seconds? Because a lot of times what ends up happening is that the team doesn't score, and if it's in the closing seconds, the odds were against it anyway. So you can call timeout, you cannot call timeout, the odds are against you, and people just want something to blame, so they go out there and make a big deal out of it, where in reality, it's the right play because you're just trying to increase variance. That's what Mike D'Antoni did. He put it into a full court situation. He trusted his team, and they went out and made the play. And in the final possession defensively, look, two great things happened. First off, Harden was a little physical in his contest on the lob, but they are never going to call a foul like that. It is a terrible idea. I don't care how open it seemed. If you're the Nuggets in that situation with 2.4 seconds left, you should never try a lob to the basket because all it takes is the slightest little hip check to throw it off balance, and the referees are not going to call it in that circumstance. I thought the officials tonight, that was a separate story altogether. There were terrible calls against the Rockets. It seemed like Danny Crawford's crew almost had a vendetta against James Harden after Harden kind of called them out early. He was called for travel on a perfectly legal Euro step. But at the end of the day, there were bad calls against both teams. It seemed that the officials were very inconsistent and rattled. But late in the game, quite frankly, it doesn't matter what's happened the first 47 minutes. There's going to be a bias towards not blowing the whistle in that situation. The Rockets were on the other end of it in San Antonio when Harden was fouled on the drive, didn't get the whistle, and while Kawhi had the block, and everyone made a huge deal of that. Well, tonight they're on the other side. Was there a little bit of contact? Sure there was, but credit to Harden for knowing they're not going to call it in that situation. So do what you've got to do to make the deflection. And then the other part of that play, loose ball went to Pat Beverly. Credit to Pat for throwing the damn ball in the air and ending the game. Because it makes me sick when I see teams play for the foul in that circumstance. Because the Nuggets had 2 timeouts. They could advance the ball even if there's 0.5, 0.6 seconds left. And just run a play and gotten a shot off. If you're a team trying to run out the clock and there's under 2 seconds left, just throw the ball towards the backcourt and it's going to be fine. That's the end of the game. That's a very high IQ play. And so that's three different guys, Harden, Nene, and Beverly, that all made winning plays late. And I know they're veterans. I know that's something that we like to see from the Rockets and would expect them to make an awful lot. But for whatever reason this year, they have not been that quality in pressure situations. They were tonight. Give them credit. It's second straight night of it. And again, 3-5. You want to go back to that Cleveland stretch. So the Rockets, they're finally doing the things in the closing minutes to close out games that I think a lot of us had wanted them to do for much of this season. So as you look towards the playoffs, we know the Rockets now 49-22. They're almost locked into that 3 seed. What are the things you want to see them tweak and get a little bit better on in these last 11 games before the playoffs start? To me, number one on my list would be crunch time execution. And well, for a second consecutive game against the Nuggets, not a great team, but a pretty quality one that would be in the playoffs if the season started today, the Rockets absolutely got it done. Other factor tonight, I know I touched on earlier, but Nene, wow, his veteran savvy. It wasn't as big of a statistical game as the other night, But yet again, his contributions were massive. 6 points, three rebounds in his 21 minutes off the bench, but those numbers don't do it justice. It was a matter of him making the plays when he needed to. Actually, he was a team worst, negative 15, but I don't think that was necessarily his fault. If you look back to the first half of this game, the Rockets actually got off to a very quick start, got up 13 points, I think, late in the first quarter, and then the bench unit struggled a little bit defensively. The Nuggets went from down 13 to having a lead, and Nene just happened to be on the floor at that point. I don't think it was his fault, but he happened to be on the floor, and so I think that skewed his plus-minus a little bit. But yes, late in the game, both sides of the court, he made the plays. And defensively, second straight game, like I said, Saturday night, it was his closeout on Barton that was the difference. Tonight, it was the way he forced Jameer Nelson into a ridiculously inefficient 22-footer. That's a huge play for Mene. And really, when you look back to these games, you say, when were the Rockets clutch this year? These two games? And then I also think back to the Oklahoma City game, the home game on TNT, when Harden made the dump-off to Nene, who got fouled in the final second and made the two free throws to win it. There's an awful lot of Nene in those games. I know early in the year, a lot of people said, well, why does Mike D'Antoni trust Nene so much late in close games? And over an 82-game season, it's fair to wonder about that. But I think more and more, Nene at 34 years old, he picks his spots. And now that it's closer to April, it's closer to playoff team time, you're seeing the value of someone like Nene late in close games. And when you think about, you know, the really clutch performances by the Rockets, Nene's been involved in an awful lot of them. That veteran savvy means something. And beyond that, when you talk about the Rockets looking forward to the playoffs, to me, Nene is a reason why you can be really bullish on this team. Because really, you can say that at 34 years old, you know he's been picking his spots. You know he can't really play back-to-backs. So it's fair to say that over the course of the year, they have not really seen a fully 100% committed Nene. But when you get to the playoffs, when there are no back-to-backs, a lot of times there's 2 and 3 days off in between games. And quite frankly, every game means so much that everyone is giving 100% every night. That's a lot of upside. We've seen Nene, we've been pretty pleased with him, and that's just grinding over 82 games. When you sign a guy like Nene, you're doing it for the playoffs. And so these moments like Saturday night and Monday night when you see Nene making those veteran plays late, there's a case that, well, you can see him making a whole lot more of them once you get to the playoffs. And so if you want to be optimistic, that's one area where you can say, well, the Rockets may be even better positioned in the playoffs than they are right now. Now, aside from the crunch time dissection, talking about James Harden, Nene, and also that late play by Pat Beverly, overall, this was a little more typical game than Saturday. Saturday was kind of weird. I talked about it on the postgame show. It's kind of the Rockets grinding their way through with grit, because even though they made just 5 threes, a season low, 5 of 24, they actually out-rebounded Denver, the leading rebounding team in the NBA, 48-45. It was a very atypical game that, well, if these teams were to play 10 times, it would only happen like that once. Tonight was a lot more typical in that the Rockets, actually, they did make their threes. They were 17 of 38, almost 45%. A lot of guys shot well. Pat Beverly was 5 of 9, hit 4 of his 5 threes. Clint Capella was 6 of 8, had 12 points and 9 rebounds. Trevor Ariza was 5 of 11, hit 3 of 7 from 3. Ryan Anderson was 4 of 8. Eric Gordon was 5 of 9, 4 of 7 for 3. It was the first really quality game that Eric's had in a while. So there were a lot of encouraging signs for the Rockets from that standpoint. However, it was kind of offset by the rebounding going back to what you might expect, which is 48-35 in Denver's favor. So it was a very different game between the same two teams that played on Saturday, and that the Rockets made their shots. They scored 125 points, which is a lot more like what we come to expect the Rockets in a game like this. But the flip side is that, well, Denver went back to the kind of rebounding advantage that they enjoy against most teams. And also Denver, well, they made over 40% of the threes themselves, including a number late. If there's one thing I would nitpick as far as the Rockets' defense down the stretch, I thought there was a little bit of poor situational awareness. I thought they went under the screen and gave up threes far too easily when they had a lead in the fourth quarter. So as they look at the film, that's the one thing I'll think they'll kind of regret. I know there's no easy answer because, well, when you have Jokic and you go around a screen and you have a mismatch, either he's on Harden, Ariza, someone like that, it's going to be an advantage. Nene against a perimeter guy, odds are you're either going to have Nene doubling in the post and giving up a three, or you're going to let Jokic go to work against someone like Harden or Ariza that he's simply bigger and stronger than. So it's a little bit of pick your poison. But when you're the Rockets and you have a 5, especially a 7-point lead late, I thought they were far too kind with giving up the open threes. With several of those spots, you feel really good about where you're at and had the Nuggets on the ropes, unless you give up a three that really swings momentum. So that's what I would say. The Nuggets are a rough matchup. I wouldn't say they're the same as the Utah Jazz, because certainly there's not the dynamic defensive big like the Jazz have with Gobert. But we know teams with elite big men give the Rockets problems, teams that really rebound the ball well. That's not breaking news. We know it's not ideal for the Rockets. It's just about mitigation, and the best way to mitigate it is situational awareness and picking your spots. And so when you look at, well, why did the Rockets get that lead at various points of the fourth quarter and then almost give it up? Well, they did give it up. They were down one until Harden's heroics in the final 7 seconds going coast to coast. That would be my biggest nitpick. Just be more situationally aware. And you know what? Sometimes it's okay if a guy has to work hard, back it down, and gets just a two when you're up 5 or 7 points. That's fine. Don't give up that huge three. The other thing I would say, I know it's a regular season game. I don't think the Rockets would play it that way in the playoffs. I thought there was far too much complaining over the officiating. Now, to be fair, I did think, as I said earlier, the officiating crew headed by Danny Crawford was awful. I thought Harden was absolutely victimized a few times, did not get clear calls that should have gone his way, but there were at least two occasions that I saw that Harden, rather than get back on defense, actually posed and used the call as an opportunity to sort of stare down the officiating crew. And maybe you can do that in the first half if you're trying to make a point and eventually swing the officiating your direction. But you can't do it in the fourth quarter if it's a single-digit game. Possessions are just too precious. And at this point, I get it, because the Rockets, they do have a pretty comfortable lead, barring just an extraordinary collapse. They should be the three seed. But when you look at if this were a playoff game, there's going to be some possessions that the Rockets wasted when they look at the film through their kind of officiating complaints that I think Jeff Bezdelic and Mike D'Antoni are going to want to clean up. Now, they're not going to be pleased with the officiating. The complaints were valid. It's just there's a time and a place. And while the active play is going on and the other team is running out in transition, it's not the time to do it. Anyway, I'll wrap up this podcast the same way I did the other day. It's by mentioning what a fabulous night it was for the Rockets, not just on the court, but around the entire NBA as well. Because, well, any way you slice it, it went in Houston's favor on Monday night. The big one, the Jazz losing 107-100 to the Indiana Pacers. That puts the Jazz 6 games back of the Rockets with 11 to play. Folks, barring an utter collapse, there's no way to concoct a scenario where the Jazz get the 3 seed. The Rockets should be resting pretty comfortably down the stretch. And, well, if they want to literally rest their players, they should have every option to do that. 6-game lead with 11 to go. I think that's pretty secure as far as a top 3 seed in the West is concerned. The other thing, if you're worried about the MVP race, well, folks, I don't know if you could have a much better juxtaposition than Harden with his 39 points, 11 assists, 7 rebounds going coast to coast for the winning layup, and then, for that matter, the winning defensive play to knock away the lob to secure the win, all while Russell Westbrook gets clowned at home, scores just 15 points on 4 of 16 shooting, 7 assists, 8 rebounds against the Warriors. Yes, the Warriors are great, but this is the Warriors without Kevin Durant, of course. And the bottom line, we've said it all year long. I know a lot of you guys as Rockets fans get it, but Russell Westbrook, phenomenal numbers, but they don't contribute enough to a winner. Flip side, James Harden, another winning play yet again, 39, 11, and 7. Rockets are 49 and 22 in firm command, basically locked up a top 3 seed, whereas the Thunder, now just 40 and 30, and well, back in the 7th spot because the Grizzlies have won 4 consecutive games. So I know most Rockets fans are kind of getting ready for the playoffs now, but in terms of the main 2 things that folks want to see down the stretch of these last 11 games, locking up the 3 seed and Harden earning his first well-deserved media MVP award, Monday night was definitely a huge step in the right direction on both of those fronts. So with that said, I will leave it there. Again, this is Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast coverage of the Houston Rockets. Thank you guys so much for listening and tuning in. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. You can follow me on Twitter, at Ben Dubose. Follow the show on Twitter, at Locked On Rockets. Also, subscribe to us, listen to our archives, anything you want to do, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Audio Boom, TuneIn. Just search for Locked On Rockets. You can find any of our 160 or so some odd episodes. Also, don't hesitate to email us, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. Any questions, suggestions, advertising inquiries, whatever that we can do to make it a better show, don't hesitate to let us know. For now, I will sign off, and well, get ready for a few days of rest. The Rockets have earned it. They've been playing very quality ball of late ever since those two losses to the Spurs and Jazz. They've won five of their last six games, including two in a row. Very hard-fought games over the Nuggets. They don't play again until Friday night, home against New Orleans. So time for everybody to kind of catch our breaths a little bit. Just enjoy some things away from basketball if you want to. And, well, if you want to hear some basketball, we'll definitely have some more interview-focused shows this week, talking a little bit more bigger picture in the Rockets and what we've learned from, well, a pretty challenging March, but a pretty rewarding one in terms of what the Rockets have accomplished when you look back at the goals and big picture where they are at. Once again, very happy final from Toyota Center Monday night. Rockets 125, Nuggets 124. Rockets now 49-22 on the year. Back in action Friday night against New Orleans. For now, have a good evening.